Welcome to the Greg Dwyer Radio Show on Building Fortunes Radio with your host, motivational speaker Greg Dwyer. Be sure to check out Greg at www.gregdwyer.com. That's www.gregdwyer.com. Now on to our show. Take it away, Greg.
So today is Mother's Day. People are thinking about their moms. They may be thinking about the fact that their mothers gave birth to them. The question I have for my guest and for all of us is, I wonder if there is a connection between a certain day of being born, or is it personality? Does the zodiac actually impact us, or is it just people? Is everything just up for grabs? What part does personality play? Is everything destiny? In other words, everything pre-planned? Or do we have free will? So we're going to talk to my guest. And he's not only a guest. He's a friend of mine. He's been on the podcast a few times. We've had him on television. I really like this guy. This is a guy you go out and you have a beer with and you just talk. And that's what we're going to do. His name, and by the way, I love pronouncing his name, Mark Iwanicki. Mark, thanks for being here today.
Greg, it's always a pleasure to talk with you. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, listen, I love your website. I don't know, it looks like it's gotten a facelift, but under alchemy, you have this quote by Carl Jung, which I want to talk about. It says, the meeting of two personalities, and today we have more than two people on this call, which is exciting. It's live and it's going to go out to a lot of people. The meeting of two personalities is like the contact of two chemical substances. If there's any reaction, both are transformed. Wow. Let's unpack that. What was he talking about there?
Yeah, well, as you know, Carl Jung was a very eminent psychologist, and he was studied the mind and studied personality for a good chunk of his life, pretty much his entire life. And towards the end of his career and the end of his studies, he started studying the topic of alchemy. And in that, he saw a lot of correlations and overlap and relations between alchemy and astrology and the zodiac. So let's take you and I, for example. You just said that quote, that the meeting of two personalities, there's either a reaction. There's a reaction there. You and I recall, are a Capricorn, am I right?
Yes, you are. Very ambitious.
Yes, you are. The ambitious Capricorn in me, I am actually on the exact opposite side of the zodiac. I'm a Cancer. So you and I, if you were to put us on a circle of the zodiac, we would be on the exact opposite sides of each other. So we'd be in opposition. When you have a full moon, you have the sun in one sign and the moon in the exact opposite sign. So your sign and my sign are perfect for full moons and new moons because we are, full moon.
No, I guess my question is, does that have to do with when we're going to get together next? I mean, what are you saying? Like, really, how does this practically play out in the real world? Like, we shouldn't get together on those days or we should? Like, what are you talking about?
No, it's all about potentials and possibilities. We have free will and there is a sense of choice in this world, but there are some things that are just set in stone.
Right.
You and I have the potential for being very good friends or just being enemies and not really wanting to spend any time with each other because we inhabit those two opposite signs of the zodiac.
Okay, so I'm looking at your T-shirts. I'm looking at your store, and it says under Cancer, it says strong. So Gemini is wise. Taurus is determined. Motivated is Aries. I'm going down towards Capricorn. It says ambitious. So do you identify with strong? And what exactly? What do you mean strong? Like strong-willed, strong personality? What's that all about?
Strong emotionally.
Okay.
So, in general, Cancer is seen as the mother sign, the sign of the mother. And Capricorn is seen as the sign of the father. The two ruling planets of those signs for Cancer is the Moon, which is about emotions. It's about nurturing. It's about feelings. And for Capricorn, the ruling planet is Saturn, which is about restriction and rules and regulations. So when you those two signs, it's the mother sign and the father sign. So there's some overlap there, but there's also some opposition there.
Well, it's interesting. So, yeah, this is all new to me. So the meeting of two personalities is like the contact of two chemical substances. Wow. So there is a reaction. If you're telling me about these two signs and how they're opposed to each other, they're opposite. Is that the right word? Is it opposite or would you use another word?
They're in opposition. Yeah, in opposition. Okay. Yep.
Okay. Yep. Yeah, and then it goes on to say transformation, transformed. Wow.
Yeah. So for us, the possibility, the potential for that, alchemizing event, we could have either become very good friends, which I think we've become, or we could have just bounced off each other and moved on in our lives.
Gotcha. So let's back up a little bit here. What exactly is alchemy? Because, I mean, you know, we take it for granted everybody knows what we're talking about. When I hear the word alchemy, I'm thinking of somebody in a barn with a bunch of straw hoping to, you know, turn it into gold. Maybe that's bringing back to the German fables or folklore. But what exactly is alchemy?
From my understanding, and you'll get a bunch of different interpretations of it, but for me, it was an acceptable way to practice magic in what time frame, like Enlightenment and Renaissance time of Europe. During those times, there was lots of the church was very strong in Europe during those times. So any type of talk of magic or any talk of more occult practices was very much frowned upon. Alchemy allowed people to study these things and also practice them under the frame of science.
So how does that relate to, you know, the book The Secret or the New Age movement or even just the personal growth movement of helping people transform their life or something even a little more serious like witchcraft? That's the word that I, you know, thought of when you mentioned the word cult or how does this all relate? Because it seems like there might be a golden thread running through it all.
Yeah, I think there is. It's all about self-help. It's all about improving yourself. It's all about using whatever tools are necessary in order for you to feel like you have agency in this world and you have an effect in this world.
Wow.
I mean, belief is a powerful thing. I mean, you've read those stories and read those articles and heard the stories of the mother who lifted up a car in order to save her children who were stuck in a burning car, or things that just should not have happened, but because someone believed and someone acted on that belief, then wonderful things such as miracles happen.
You struck a nerve. Let me ask you this, and of course we don't rehearse this, we don't map this out ahead of time, it's just a conversation. Do you remember Doug Henning, or does that ring a bell, the magician from the 70s, early 80s? Does that ring a bell at all?
I know that name, yeah.
Okay, so I grew up in the 60s, 70s, so I grew up seeing him on the magic show in New York City, but yesterday was his birthday. Now, he died a couple years back in the 80s. They had a birthday party tribute to him yesterday live at 3 o'clock in the afternoon that went to 9 o'clock last night. It was 6 hours. I've never seen anything like it. We had people all over the world, famous people from Vegas, you know, all participating in having a conversation about this guy, Doug Henning, and how he made a difference. what really struck me, Mark, was at the beginning of the conversation. Now, we're talking about a magician. We're talking about a guy on stage, Broadway, Vegas, et cetera, television. And television, he changed television as far as magic is concerned. But one of the things they said at the very beginning was that the real magic, and this was paraphrased on the character of Doug Henning, the real magic is to believe in oneself and also to believe deeply in the message. And then the guy went on to say that the real secret is not in the cards, it's not in the gimmicks, it's the psychology of the performer, And it blew me away. I couldn't believe I was hearing this. And then he went on to say, and also the conditioning of the performer. And then they went to talk about performance art and the habit and taking something that's difficult and turning it into a habit so that it's beautiful so you don't have to think about it. But I was really taken back by the fact that this guy, probably late 60s, early 70s, tapped in to something beautiful, but something magical, esoteric is, I guess, the word I'm looking for. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. You touched on a whole bunch of things. You touched upon the conditioning and psychology. I mean, if you truly believe that there is a God out there, then you will find him here in this world. If you truly believe that there is no God, then you will truly find no God.
Right.
And noticing the small little things in the world, noticing detail, noticing everything that's like being completely in touch with you. First, your own body is the first connection there, and then with your surroundings and with yourself.
Let me stop you there. Why do you say that? I'm surprised to hear that, but I'm not really totally surprised. Why do you say that being connected to your body and also connected to details is the first place to start in this journey? Why is that important?
Well, I mean, everyone is at the center of the universe. Modern day science will try and tell you that we're just this minuscule creature floating on a rock that's twirling around a sun that's in the corner of a forgotten galaxy, right?
Right.
But Einstein's theory of relativity will say that things are moving in relation to each other. So while I'm sitting here, by my computer on the phone talking with you, the sky is moving, the clouds are moving, the sun is moving in relation to me. And our bodies are, what do they call it? The receptacle of our soul. Our bodies are the receptacles of our soul. So if we can be in contact first with our bodies, and truly in contact with our bodies. I don't think there's anyone who's truly in contact, there's few people who are truly in contact with their body. Then we've taken the first step towards true connection to the universe and our surroundings and our environment.
So, yeah, the word that popped up in my mind as you were talking was the word connection. So the first place to start is to recognize that connection and the identity and how we operate within that system. Is that what I hear you saying?
Right.
Okay. So that's profound. Now, is that tied in any way to any morning ritual or afternoon ritual or evening ritual? Do you have something that you do during the day or during the morning that taps you into that you would like to share?
Well, I mean, everyone has their morning rituals. Everyone wakes up at a certain time, and first thing they do is maybe they put on a pot of coffee or something. There's things that, we are creatures of habit. So, sure, I've got my morning rituals. There's things that I do every morning.
Okay.
But the gentleman, Doug Henning, seems like he was someone who was truly in contact with himself and truly in contact with his surroundings. And because he's in contact with himself and his surroundings, he can, for lack of a better term, manipulate his surroundings so that people see things that maybe weren't necessarily there. Or at least by sleight of hand, able to use his body in such a precise way to make people see something that he wanted them to see.
Interesting. Yeah. When I was a kid, I thought it was an act. When I was a kid, I thought it was just show business. And, you know, what came out through this 6-hour tribute yesterday was the fact that Doug Henning was the same person on stage that he was in real life. There was no difference whatsoever. And I just thought, oh my, I didn't know that. I thought, you know, the whole thing, the hippie kind of flowery talk. And so I really think that he did believe in real magic, that if you thought about it and you focused on it and you prayed about it, you got really clear that you wanted it, you didn't give up on it, most likely it'd show up in your life.
Sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. And that comes directly from childhood. And here we are talking on Mother's Day, the importance of Mother's Day, the importance of mothers and fathers. But today, because it's Mother's Day, the importance of mothers in bringing up their children to believe in something and believe in themselves.
I like where you're going with this. I just had an insight about 3-4 weeks ago, about a month ago. When I was a kid, I fell in love with magic. It was a coin trick. So from fourth grade all the way through high school, my whole focus was magic. I mean, I was not interested in anything other than real, you know, just performance. And I remember, you know, being in high school, I had no mortgage, I had no car payments, I didn't have to worry about a boss, I had no anything. I had no real responsibilities. I was living under my parents' household, so they took care of everything. And I just pursued a career in, you know, show business, theater, doing magic shows for kids, and then eventually working on stage. That was my whole focus. And about 3-4 weeks ago, I said to myself, the only thing I need to expand my career as a public speaker is to do exactly the same thing I did when I was a kid, to have that same belief and to have that same – it's almost like I have to relearn what I already knew, Mark, back when I was like 15 years old. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, sure does. I mean, we change as we live and breathe in our society. We change. We take on some of it and we expel some of it. We try new things and forget things. So earlier we talked about Carl Jung and the reaction of chemicals. There was another one. He said, if you can tap into whatever it is that made the time go by quickly when you were a child, that's a clue to your earthly endeavors. So it's the beginner's mind, it's the child's mind, and also in some of the apocryphal works of the Bible, Jesus often said, if you do not see the world as through the eyes of a child, then you will never enter the kingdom of heaven, right? So have that beginner's mind and have that child's mind.
Very good. So, yeah, the idea of being like a child or not being cynical is what I hear you. I think what happens is the conditioning of the world comes in and we – I guess what I hear you saying is we get conformed to other patterns and conditioning that allows us not to enter and to see the beauty. I mean, you just go outside at night and you look at the stars and you realize how huge this whole thing is. It can take your breath away if you pay attention to it. Let's talk a little bit about time. I like what you're saying there about time, and we could go – we don't have that much time. Let me just actually look at the time. Yeah, we have 10 minutes. This whole concept of time is very, very subjective. When you love what you do and you're in the moment, time seems to disappear, but you're doing something you hate. Oh, you're looking at the clock, you know, especially if you're going to work. So many people, you know, Sunday night, they can't stand it because they got to go work tomorrow and they're looking at the clock. So talk about our relationship with time, which, I don't know, is an illusion? Is it real? What's up with time?
Yes, all of the above. And no, none of the above. I have no idea what time is, but I do know that you need to spend time in order to get good at something, right? The more time you spend doing something, the better you are at it. Also, the more time you spend in a certain situation or in a certain place, the more comfortable and harder it is to get out of that, right?
Yeah.
Time is like a river, right? So if it's a drop of time, then it doesn't have a lot of effect on the earth, which is what we're made of. We're made of earth. So our bodies and the things that we want to do take time to manifest. We need to work at something. We need to get better at things. We need to practice. We need to make mistakes. We need to learn from those mistakes. And then that one drop becomes a river, and it's now carved out a large groove in the earth, and now the river just runs without any effort anymore.
Wow, I love that. Let's talk a little bit about the mind itself. I mean, we have the conscious mind. Like, I know where I am. I know I'm talking to you. I'm focused on this conversation, but there's also the subconscious or the mind that's not aware, like, of my heartbeat or my breathing or the clock behind me and the ticking of the clock until I noticed it. And then there's the superconscious. I know we don't have time. We could probably spend a whole hour on this and just scratch the surface. What do you think of the relationship between all three? Hopefully that's a specific question.
Mind, body, superconscious, or those were the three.
I'm thinking conscious, subconscious, and then there's this unknown superconscious. Call it God, call it energy. Things come out of the blue. I'm sure it's happened to you. You know, you have this idea, and you're like, where did that come from? You know.
Well, we could talk about synchronicity there too.
Okay.
I've heard people describe the world as ideas walking inside of the mind of God.
Okay.
And nowadays you always hear people talking about narratives and let's build a good narrative around this. Let's build a good narrative around this project, or take a look at the narrative that they're talking about on the news, or the narrative that the news is talking about this certain sports team. Like, it's all stories. It's all stories. And in our minds, we can change that story, but it's a little bit harder to change not only that subconscious, but also the superconscious too. The superconscious listens to the subconscious in many ways as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like drilling into a rock that keeps bending the drill bit. I don't know. That's a good question. What do you think? How have you tried to work with your subconscious and superconscious?
Well, my idea is that it's the subconscious that is really running the show. So I may say, hey, I'd love to lose 5 pounds, or I'd love to, I don't know, just something, any kind of goal, and maybe focus on the mechanics of it. You know, how do I do it? You know, like, how do I make this happen? I think the secret is a shifting of the subconscious. I think there's beliefs there that are invisible, that people don't see. And then I think also there's something, you know, I do believe in the supernatural. I do believe there's a super conscious, I'll call it God. I'll call, you know, what happens there, providence. So, yeah, I mean, just the other day, I'll tell this in 30 seconds. I was thinking to myself, I'm looking for a director to direct me on stage. And I was thinking to myself, what will I need to do to make it happen? And then all of a sudden, I just connected with this guy who was in a class that I'm taking every Tuesday. And then we were in a class together this week, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And I thought to myself, this is amazing. We got talking. And I brought it to his attention. He says, oh, I've been in theater for years. I'd love to direct you. And I thought, is it an answer to prayer? Like, what is that? That's magic to me.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you manifested pretty quickly. I mean, one of the tricks is when that does happen, like, how grateful were you when it happened? Like, did you truly acknowledge, like, wow, you know, I've really been...
Oh yeah. I'm not saying I'm very self-aware. I'm aware. I'll say that. And I'm very grateful. I mean, I actually talk out loud. Thank you so much. I don't know who you are. I don't know if that's an angel. I don't know. I'm not asking them to reveal themselves, but I say, hey, look, I just want to acknowledge this and you and what you're doing here. And you know what? Doug Henning did that. When he went to L.A. for the first time and went to the Magic Castle and met some people, he wrote in his diary, things are going to happen to me. I'm going to be famous, he said. And it's interesting. I really think that there's a force behind it that's bigger than us. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And I truly believe the same. I believe the same, too. It takes great courage to follow whatever that voice is that guided Doug Henning to wherever he ended up. That takes courage. A lot of people hear that voice and they don't listen.
Yeah. Well, you got to listen to me. We got 2 minutes left. How do people get a hold of you? And I appreciate your time and I appreciate what you're doing here. I know you do coaching. I know you do readings. You work with people. So how do people get a hold of you? We got 2 minutes. I can't believe this.
Time flies when you're having fun, right?
That's right. I was in the moment.
You can find me on my website, which is iwinickimedia.com. There's a whole bunch of ways in which you can contact me there. You can email me, mark@iwinickimedia.com. You can find me on Instagram, Facebook, all those good social media sites. And yes, I do offer readings, and I teach tarot as well.
And anything coming up? You got anything speaking or any conferences or anything you know, in the hopper that's coming up in the next couple months?
No big events. I do teach a monthly class at a local metaphysical shop, which continues the second Saturday of every month in Wallingford, Connecticut at Hidden Gem on Main. You can find them online as well, too.
Actually, yeah, I didn't know that. All right, so we got about 40 seconds. Is there anything that you want to say that I didn't ask you and you just want to get it on the broadcast? We got about 40 seconds.
Well, Greg, I just really appreciate talking with you. You're a great interviewer, and we always manage to talk about some things that are very interesting and fun for me, so I appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate you as well. I'm glad we're friends, even though we're opposites, you know, the moon and the sun. We seem to complement each other. So I guess Carl Jung was right. When two people come together, magic can happen. So with that, I want to thank you, Mark Iwanicki, and I want to thank the listeners. And I know we gave you something to think about. So we'll talk to you next week. We're out. Thanks, Mark.
Take care.
You've been listening to the Greg Dwyer Radio Show, brought to you by motivational speaker Greg Dwyer on buildingfortunesradio.com. Check out Greg at gregdwyer.com. be sure to download his ebook at gregdwyerebook.com to stay focused on what matters most to you. That's www.gregdwyerebook.com. We want to thank you for listening. Now go make a difference in your world.